This is Tape 3, Side A of the Open University course, English 102, Composition in Native Indian Literature 1. On this tape, course author Patty Hartford talks to Gilbert Oscaboos, the author of The Welcome. This interview was recorded at the Open Learning Agency in Burnaby on February 25, 1993. Gilbert Oscaboos is at his office on a reserve in Cutler in northern Ontario, where he works as a public relations officer. Patty Hartford is at her home in Kamloops.
I think as I talk to you, this is an unlikely man to be a writer. What prompted this in you? What made you decide to become a writer?
You mean an unlikely man?
I don't know. I'd love to...
Why do you say that?
A
little bit too black here or something, or no?
Maybe, I don't know what it is. That's not intended at all as an insult. It's not intended at all as an insult.
I forgot this is an interview, and this is probably just an interview question. Okay, what am I supposed to say here now? Unlikely to be a writer? Yeah, I guess so. I came from northern Ontario, a trapping family, got drug away at residential school, turned out to be the fair-haired boy in English 101 there sort of thing, and writing came from there sort of thing, followed from there, eh? Figured there's enough stuff in Indian country that need to be spoken. I mean, ours is a sort of an oral thing there, at least it's supposed to be, but I thought I'd just go the other way and do the writing thing, eh?
Were you always interested in the literature?
Yes. To me, I always sort of felt that there was a sort of a power in the words, eh? In the written word, eh? I mean, I think it had great magic there, sort of thing, eh? I don't know how you say it.
Very well.
You know what I mean? I just saw, you know what I mean? As I started, sort of thing, just reading, eh? I started reading some of the people I started off with there, is awesome writers, eh? The imagery they created, eh? With these words, eh? Sort of moving around in the paper and the things they created, the feelings they created. There's a magical thing about it, eh? And I wanted to get into that. I wanted to do that same kind of magic, eh?
When did you decide that?
Oh, back in the 50s, sometimes. Yeah, 50s, I guess, eh? I start getting stronger and stronger there in school, eh? And made some impressions, eh? That... on different people, instructors, I guess, teachers, and the feedback that came back from them was good, eh? The feedback that came back from my fellow students there was good, eh? And it made me feel good, eh? To sort of hit the nail on the head on a lot of things, eh? I don't know.
Write about things that happened to you personally?
Yeah, because I find that that's the easiest thing to write about is your own experiences, eh? But at the same time, at least for me anyway, I guess it's true all over the place, but in Indian country, the experiences are often similar sort of thing. Since we're all lumped into the same thing there, you know what I mean? We're all painted or tarred with the same brush sort of thing. Experiences tend to be the same. Eh?
Yeah. What do you think is the most important thing for Native people to write about?
Oh boy! I don't know. I think their own experiences, maybe their own experiences, and how these experiences sort of impact on the whole community. Like, for example, the residential school trip or something. I've come back to that theme frequently over. Like I said, I hadn't seen this welcome thing for the last 20 years or something, but I have come back to this theme because of the impact it's had on all of Indian country. Not just me sort of thing. I mean, I've had my ass kicked here and there throughout life sort of thing and by a hell of a lot better people than the Jesuits in residential school sort of thing. But it's the impact that this thing had on our community sort of thing. You can even see that right now. You know what I mean?
More and more so, I think the non-Native community is beginning to understand what happened there.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that I have three older sisters that went through the thing. The same thing. I haven't spoken to them for the last 15, 20 years. I don't know those people. I didn't know them when I was in school, and I don't know them now, sort of thing. So, I mean, we've got a family here, you know, I put the family in brackets there sort of thing, that we don't speak to each other. We have nothing to do with each other. Although we're brought up, you know, a half a mile apart in the same residential school sort of thing, one for girls, one for boys. You know what I mean? My parents died a few years ago. Nobody gives a shit sort of thing. I mean, they didn't give a shit about us when they stuck us in residential schools or allowed us to be stuck in residential schools, and we didn't give a shit about them when they croaked a few years ago. You know what I mean? I mean, so I'm talking about the damage that's been done today. So I think it's happening right now. I mean, our communities.
I want to come back to this idea of residential schools because I think it's really an important one, and you do speak out very clearly about it. Right now, I'd like to ask you about your feeling about non-Native writers writing fiction about Native people.
I guess I want to ask you to speak up a little bit. I'm deaf as a fucking board. I can hardly hear you.
Okay.
What did you say?
I said, what's your feeling about non-Native writers writing fiction about Native people?
I heard about that little thing. Apparently, it's taking place in Toronto there right now. There's a big debate going on whether, you know, blacks should be writing about black experiences, whites about whites, all that sort of thing. And the other side is saying that writers shouldn't go for whatever the hell they want to go for sort of thing. I don't know. I feel it's sort of an infringement, eh? You know what I mean? I find it an infringement. When some white person comes in, you know, into my territory and starts writing about my stories, I feel invaded sort of thing. I mean, my first question is, what the hell does this asshole know about, residential schools? He never was there. So, I mean, what do you get off talking about it sort of thing? I don't know, you never lived on residential, in a reserve sort of thing, eh? You don't know what it's like to live in a reserve, an Indian reserve, the sort of, the ingrowth of it all sort of thing, the pain that goes on there, the trouble, the hurt. What the hell does some white person who's probably born with a silver spoon in their mouth in Toronto know about a residential school? So why the hell should we be writing about it? I mean, it's as absurd as me writing about, the upper crust in Toronto sort of thing. What the hell would I know about that? I don't know. I suppose that's a shallow analysis of the whole thing, but that's as good as it gets right now.
I think you're basically saying write what you know about in this.
Write what you know about, exactly. And then there's some credibility to your writing, sort of thing, I mean, how would you like me stumbling around writing about women's issues sort of thing? What the hell do I know about women's issues? Christ, I'm half the problem. You know what I mean? I'm the last chauvinist pig from Indian country in Ontario. What the hell do I know about women's problems sort of thing? So, I mean, I think it should be women that should be writing those things. I don't know.
Okay, well, who do you like to read? Who are your favorite? Who are your favorite writers?
Boy, not too many anymore. I'm sort of getting away from it, It's a mechanical thing. I had a stroke a few years ago, and I'm down to one hand there, and it's hard to hold a book sort of thing and read, so I'm getting away from writing, but... Uncle Fossey there from out in B.C. someplace, Fotheringham. I used to like his stuff. There's an Indian guy, the only Indian guy in Indian country that I take my hat off is Vine Delaurier Jr. He's a big, ugly Sioux from Rosebud Reserve, eh? He's got a powerful style. Powerful style of writing, eh?
What do you think is your best work?
I done something not too long ago there that... grabbed a lot of attention there. What's it called? The Serpent Eggs, Serpent's Eggs. It's kind of a modern day mythology there. Something to do with the uranium impact, the uranium mines in Elliott Lake and their impact in Native communities, in my Native community sort of thing, But it can be applied to anything, all across the country, Just uranium mining in general in Canada and its impact on Native communities, You know what I mean? Something like that.
What kinds of things have other people said about your work? You had critical reviews and comments, and I know.
Yeah, it's been really strange sort of thing. I don't know, like you say critical sort of thing, one of the strange things about Indian country, writing in Indian country, is that you don't get too much criticism. Mainly you get, you know, from the white folks, you get pats on the head, to, you know, sort of saying, oh, wow, you're illiterate, sort of thing. You can actually write. And what the hell do you expect us to be doing, sort of thing, writing on charcoal and rancid moose hides? Give me a break, you know what I mean? So, I mean, criticism, I haven't heard too much from the white folks, sort of thing, the white literary world, sort of thing. Mainly it's sort of, you know, patting the back, and, oh, wow, this guy, you know, can speak, he can write, sort of thing. You know, just came down out of the trees a few years and can actually write now, sort of thing. I get amazement, you know what I mean?
What kind of response do you get from your own community?
Nothing. Little or nothing, eh? When I give the white folks a thumping, I get all kinds of pats on the back and happiness and praise and laughter and everything else. When I look inward to our own, you know, problems in Indian country and do the social critic thing, then I get the shit kicked out of me from skins who call me things like apple, you know? Like an apple is kind of a, you know, a loony that's red on the outside but white on the inside, sort of thing. Like, Indian country doesn't want to hear social criticism, and that's one of the things I'm into, sort of thing. Eh? I think we should be looking into ourselves there and, you know, straightening up our own selves, cleaning up our own act, even before we, you know, getting rid of some of the current mythology out there in Indian country, sort of thing. Eh? Some of the stuff that's holding us back, that's keeping us spinning our wheels in one spot, blah, 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 sort of thing. Eh? But those are the two basic responses I get, eh?
So when you do get these responses, what do you do with them? How do you respond to them? Do you get angry? Do you?
Yeah, usually angry, eh? And wrap them up in tight little bottles there and throw them into the garbage thing, eh? You know, I don't know. Just depends on, you know, what kind of a day you caught me on, sort of thing, eh?
Well, would you like to read the welcome for us now?
A part of it or something? Or
it's short enough, you could probably read the whole thing. Would that be okay?
A chunk out of it or what?
Want to read the whole thing? It's not terribly long, so...
Well, it's just a page. I'll try, okay?
Okay.
This thing is something that I've stayed away from for 20 years, sort of thing, eh?
Oh, we'll take that into account.
Yeah, well, I mean, get ready for anything here. Maybe I might get through it. Maybe I'll throw it in the garbage halfway through and walk out of the room.
Okay.
I'll try it. I saw it coming, but I really couldn't believe it was happening. The black robe's open hand came up, drifted to a lazy semicircle, and exploded violently in my face. The blow slammed me, dazed and shaken, into the rough cloister wall, and blood spurted from my nose and mouth. Indian language is verboten. You will not speak it again. Far off in the swirling mists of pain and confusion, the door slams. A lock turns. I'm alone. I told you this wouldn't work.
Take a minute. We can edit this.
I've been avoiding this fucking thing for 20 years. I don't want to go back here. I should have told you this on the phone before, and I tried to do that, but I was also driven by some goddamn thing about, you know, getting in there and speaking.
That's okay. We can leave it at that. That's just fine.
Good.
Do you think you can talk about it a little bit more, or would you rather not?
I don't know. I mean, what the hell for, sort of thing, eh? I think I'll be talking about it soon. There's a sort of a national inquiry there being pushed by the AFN, eh? Assembly of First Nations in Ottawa, and I'm going to be trying to get onto that group, eh? And so I suppose I'll have to talk about it. Well, I'll write about it, eh?
What other writing have you done? Now, I'm familiar with The Welcome and The Serpent's Egg, but what else have you, what kinds of things have you written?
Bits and pieces for numerous, you know, quote, native anthologies sort of thing, and there seems to be no end to those, eh, and no end to people calling up asking for a little piece of me, I guess, or Indian country, or my way of looking at it, or... I've done a column, a personal column in the paper here for years, eh? On just about everything. I know self-government is our main thrust sort of thing, but I've always maintained that there's a hell of a lot more to Indian country than, you know, heavy-duty things like self-government sort of thing. And I think there's a hell of a lot more to us than that, so that's what I write about, all those other things, eh? The good, the bad, and the ugly sort of thing from Indian country, eh? So, like I say, I've been doing a column there for I don't know how many years. years now. Too many years, maybe.
We talked earlier about your feelings about your residential school experience. Have your feelings changed over the years?
Gotten more angry, more bitter. They've gotten worse. Because now, as years have gone by, that was 1956, I don't know what the hell that is, 30 years ago or so, I think, I'm starting to see, you know, what's that done, what's that, you know what I mean? At that time, I didn't know the consequences. I just felt the immediate pain, sort of thing. But now, after 30 years, I see the consequences in Indian country, eh? And some of the consequences. The fact that nobody speaks the language anymore. Nobody knows the ways, eh? The tradition, sort of thing. Nobody knows those things, eh? The people are floundering around, sort of thing. We got young people coming back from distant provinces with Sioux headbands on and Arapaho moccasins and Haida belts and, you know, singing Shoshone songs or something. We're so goddamn mixed up, we don't know who we are anymore, sort of thing, eh? And residential schools were squarely at the root of that, eh? The troubles with the religion thing, sort of thing. The whole, Roman Catholic thing into Indian country, sort of thing. How it wiped out most forms of Indian spirituality, sort of thing. The damage it done there, sort of thing, eh? The damage it continues to do. Like in my community, we all had our ways of surviving, you know. Well, you know, that puts our community, you know, at odds, eh? Torn apart, sort of thing. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that I see today. I mean, the family I just mentioned to you about, that we don't talk to each other. We have nothing to do with each other because we didn't know each other in school, and we sure as hell didn't know each other now, eh? We didn't know our parents back there because we were taken away and we were put into residential schools. My sisters were raised by nuns. What the hell would they know about raising a family, sort of thing? I was raised by white men in a black dress. What the hell would they know about raising a family or living, you know, in the real world, sort of thing, eh? You know what I mean? I tell my children, my grandchildren, if I'm not the greatest father or grandfather in the world, maybe that's something to do with being drug away from my role models at 5 years old and being raised by white men who wore black dresses. I mean, it's should consider myself lucky that I'm not a hell of a lot more crazier than I am, sort of thing. You know what I mean? That long-term damage, that's what I mean. That's what makes me so goddamn angry. Angry every day. The older I get, the more I see, sort of thing, what they've done, eh? How deep the whole thing is, and how long term it is. There's people not even born yet, for God's sakes, in Indian country.
Will be affected by this, you're saying? Yeah.
Yes.
What was your?
Not even born yet, for God's sakes, and already bent out of shape by this shit. We were raised in the school down there. Well away from the white town sort of thing that was nearby, eh? And there was no white people there at all. I mean, they were somebody that we saw on Saturdays when we were allowed to go free for a few hours. They were somebody that kicked the shit out of us, or we kicked the shit out of them on Saturdays, eh? You know what I mean? We didn't know who they were. I mean, I was 16 years old before I got out and started interacting with white people sort of thing, and it was bad, I'm telling you. I mean, because as far as we were concerned, they were trouble. They were the enemy sort of thing, eh? They're an extension of the Jesuits sort of thing, eh? You know what I mean? It's isolation, insulation, call it whatever you want, eh? You can see, you can imagine the results.
How much do you think those feelings have changed now?
For who?
You.
For me?
Yeah.
Not damn little. I still wouldn't trust one of the buggers as far as I could throw them. It's probably not too far because I'm getting old and more feeble every day. It's permanent. The damage is permanent. I am bent out of shape permanently. And it pisses me off no end that somebody fucked around my head like that. It really pisses me off. You know, and a lot of other people's head too. Like I said, I can take a few kicks, eh? At least I think I could. But it's done a lot to a lot of people, eh?
What happened to you? What was your route after you left residential school?
Oh, Oh, all over the place. I spent about 20 years on the road, eh? Newfoundland to BC, done every damn job known to man, sort of thing. Was all over the place, eh? Put up the high steel in Newfoundland, worked on the fishing boats of BC, hunting guide, trapping, construction, mining, worked on the highways, on the tracks, everything and anything, eh? Never stayed any more than 6 months in any one relationship, sort of thing, eh? They're just one after the other, sort of thing, eh? I think I invented promiscuity. I don't know what the hell for or why. I just done it, sort of thing, eh? Seemed like the thing to do at the time, eh? Just running steady, eh? All over the place, eh?
You told me before that when you wrote The Welcome, you were at Langara in B.C., is that right?
Yeah, I ended up in journalism there.
Did you stay there for a while?
Well, I completed their journalism program. That was when I was about 35 years old. And the instructor, the one who instructed me in this marvelous thing, had himself just finished a long and illustrious career in journalism, sort of thing, in the BBC, in England, in America, down in the States, in Canada, and now he was putting all that aside to go teaching. And he was teaching a guy that was a year older than him, you know? But I just managed to get back to school. I could start stomaching school again when I was 35 years old. Eh? See, I had been thrown out when I was, 15 or something like that. I just sat in a corner and refused to learn anything until you let me go, sort of thing. Eh? So after about 2 months of that down school, in residential school, they let me go. Eh? And I never went back to a school or a church ever since, sort of thing. Eh?
Was that... Return to school at Langara a turning point in your life? Did it change a lot of things for you?
I think so. I ended up, I came to Langara from the Laughing Ranch out there, UBC. There's a loony bin out there that I spent about 6 months out there trying to turn into a turnip, eh? It didn't work, so I thought, well, what the hell, I might as well go back to school, eh? Well, that's where I ended up back in school, and I always did like writing, and I thought, well, journalism is the epitome of writing sort of thing, so try that, eh? So, yes, it was a turning point, yes.
You use that journalism today, still?
Pardon? Yes, I'm a director of communications, North Shore Tribal Council. We put out a small tabloid newspaper. We do video for self-government. We do brochures, pamphlets, all kinds of stuff. I use that today, eh? It's gotten me a very good life there, sort of thing. In my anger, I don't know what the hell I put it in my... Most of the time, I put it in my back pocket, sort of thing. I leave it there. And I write about garbage, sort of thing. Bullshit, eh? Fluff. Something that doesn't upset people or upset me or... Whatever, eh? You know what I mean? Just whatever it is to get by there, to coast, eh?
Well, I found that in talking to students about The Welcome over the last few years, that this is a story that touches people very, very deeply, both Native and non-Native people. And certainly you're communicating. And whether you're communicating with all of the anger that you feel or not, you're certainly getting your point across. And it has certainly sparked a great deal of interest in non-Native students who have been so totally unaware sometimes of some of the tragedies that occurred there. They certainly developed an interest and a concern and perhaps a desire to,
Fortunately, it's 30 years too late.
Yeah, well, exactly. But, well, I appreciate talking to you. I've been really grateful to hear the things you've had to say, and I really appreciate it. I know it wasn't easy, but thank you very much.